been a long week. Monday morning, I had to fly out to Idaho and back. Fly out Monday, come back Thursday morning. Altogether, it was 10,000 miles of flying and driving this week from Monday to Thursday. Monday morning, I got to Salt Lake City and then heard the news that my aunt had passed away at 94. Been texting and calling several people whose family members are either in ICU or hospice or really facing a long road. Texting with a man that's dealing with chronic pain issues right now, severe chronic pain. I was landing in Salt Lake City. I just texted Jeff before I left Idaho Thursday morning. And then when I landed in Salt Lake City, I had gotten his reply that Jeannie had passed away over the night. I ended this week with a lot of exhaustion and just loss. Even though I'm not directly involved with a lot of these people, I feel their loss. I know we feel their loss. We all know how it is to go through a struggle. We all know someone like that. I'm not anything special. We all feel that. Probably everyone in this room and everyone who's going to listen to this has encountered some type of loss in their life. It may come from the death of a loved one, a loss of an identity, loss of financial status, loss of a job, loss of health. The emotional impact of it, numbness, just numb to everything, shock, irritable, bitter, detached. They're preoccupied with the loss. It's almost like a PTSD in a way. That when it occurs, it's just so traumatic that you can't move on past it. Joy becomes something foreign. Physically, your stomach's a mess. Digestive system's all tore up. You're tired. How many of us have gone through a loss of some sort or another and just didn't feel like even getting up out of bed? There's a list of things you need. I'm right there with you, Debbie. There's a list of things we need to do, but we can't force ourselves to even do the simplest of them. Headaches, chest pain, stress and anxiety and aggravation will kill you. Muscle aching. There's a study of family practice doctors across the country I thought was real interesting. They were surveyed about why do patients really come to see them. 55 out of 200 patients, they say, come because they're dealing with some type of loss that's expressing itself into physical symptoms. When these losses happen, we ask ourselves why. I cannot tell you how many prayers I have prayed for the Norwood family. I cannot tell you how many prayers I have prayed when someone asked me to pray for someone. This prayer list is prayed over multiple times a day. And sometimes bad things happen, and we don't understand why. There's sometimes I don't understand why. But we can be tempted in this to lose our faith in God's goodness. We enter a period of grief. How should we deal with this grief as Christians? Is it wrong to grieve? Has God forsaken us? These first set of verses taken from Jesus' first public ministry. Very first words Jesus spoke to a crowd. This is what God thinks about grief and loss. This is Matthew 5, verses 3 and 4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think it's really important to note these are the first two things Jesus spoke about. The brokenhearted, the grieving. Verses 3 and 4 are linked. Those who are poor in spirit and those who are grieving. The road of a Christian is rough and is narrow and is twisted. When we go through this world and this filled with sin and misery, God didn't cause all this. God didn't cause these diseases. God didn't cause these tragedies. This is a fallen world. This isn't the world it was meant to be. We will encounter loss in this world, and there is no other way around it. If you live for a moment, there will be some kind of loss, whether it's a loss of self or it's a loss of someone else. Loss from whatever the cause can drain the spirit of faith and energy. So many times our losses occur after a long struggle. That loved one that's in declining health. That job that you have tried to hold on to for everything you have. That house that you have tried to hold on to, that you have collected change for, that you have done everything you could to make that house payment. You're holding on with everything you got. Loss can occur. Might be trying to make that relationship work. Might be taking care of that loved one who is struggling with addiction. They can wear down the strongest faith, like constant water and wind wearing down the strongest rock. That's how the Grand Canyon got formed. Wind and water, constant. Just constant, wearing down. If you look at the strongest people in the Bible, Elijah, power of God in his hands, called down the lightning and burned wood-soaked water, healed countless people. Even he was ready to commit suicide. He wanted God to take him. Jesus himself had anxiety that was laying on his shoulders. Matthew 26, 38 and 39, he said to him, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming. Asked his disciples, "Stay here with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." If Jesus was having a hard time with the loss that was about to occur, it's all right for us. It's okay for us to have a hard time, and it's okay for us to struggle. Jesus made us a promise in verse 3 here that our struggles are temporary. They're not forever. In verse 4, the Christian faced with loss should understand it's okay to grieve. There's a verse that I've felt led to use at most of the funeral services I was asked to speak at. John 11:35, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible to me. Is one of the most powerful. It's actually the verse I used Friday when I did my Facebook devotional about Jenny and requesting prayer for her and the grief that her family is going through and her church family. Jesus was weeping over the loss of Lazarus. He knew he was going to see him again, but that loss affected him. Today's English, the word comfort is almost synonymous with sympathize. And Jesus, he sympathizes with us. The scriptures describe him as a man of sorrow. That's who he was. He took our sorrows. Sympathy is not what it's meant here. God's saying he has more to offer us than a sympathetic ear and a pat on the head. He wants to come out and strengthen us with his power. We're not helpless in our grief. He is here to give us the strength to go on and live. In fact, he wants us to change our losses into gains. Paul in the book 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Every single breath we have is a gift from God right now. Our bodies are like tents. As time goes by, and time and injury take a hold of us, the bones become brittle. Our joints become rigid. Skin wrinkles. Our sight grows dim. And our arms grow weary. Our bodies start bulging in all the wrong places. And the hair starts growing in all the wrong places. And I could go on and on and on, but y'all don't want to hear about my problems this morning. We brag about our strength, but a single microbe can kill us. Can kill us all. Sooner or later, we'll grow old and our bodies begin to break down, even with the best of nutrition, the best of supplements, the best of exercise, we eventually will break down. We can slow it, but we can't delay it forever. Jobs and relationships can be like tents too, not being able to stand up some of the roughest storms in our lives. With Jesus, we're offered the chance to upgrade the tent we're living in this life to a mansion in the next life. And you think about it. Paul is talking about the earthly tent, our bodies, a heavenly body. No aging, no pain. Tents are temporary. They're flimsy. If they're put together by me, they will not stand up in a strong wind. They're meant to be replaced. A building is strong. It's put on a strong foundation, and it's meant to last. Death isn't annihilation. Death is not the end. Death's a trade-in. I've had to remind myself of that this week. One day, we will trade in our broken bodies for a new body. And look what Paul says about that new body. It's from God. And it's not made with hands. And it's eternal. And it's heavenly, not earthly. Paul lived a life of change, loss, and struggle. Paul was born with the idea by his parents that he would be a Pharisee. He was groomed all his life to be a Pharisee, to be the nobility of the temple. God got in the way. Life-altering change and loss. But that loss led to a beautiful change. That Pharisee started churches that 2,000 years later are still going. That Pharisee is one of the most quoted people in the scripture. He was beaten. He was betrayed. He did not know many times where his next meal came from. The loss and anxiety he had to be experiencing was amazing. Paul looked forward to the next world. Why? Because the pain of this one makes us cry out. Why? We groan of the sickness and loss of loved ones. We groan of a job we hate. We groan of unfulfilled dreams. We groan because our bodies are breaking down. We groan because our marriages break up. And we groan because our children can go astray. Betrayal from those that come close to us, all those are losses. So we live in a fallen, mixed up, messed up, broken down world, and we ourselves are broken down. We look for a better day and a better place, and we dream of a better world where there is no more cancer, no more abuse, no more addiction, no more hatred, no more people just hating you because you are. Because of what you believe, because you believe in your God. No more hatred for that. No more hurricanes and tornadoes. No more crime and sadness. No more night. Darkness is eternally defeated. No more sickness and no more death. We will put on these new bodies and there'll be no more pain and no more tears. And this is Jesus' promise to us in Revelation 21:4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. These first things have passed away. Verse 4, Paul talks about being clothed when what is mortal is being swallowed up by life. He's talking about having that relationship with Jesus. There is no salvation without Jesus being in your heart as Lord and Savior. I've had a chance to listen on YouTube and other sites where there are a lot of pastors that kind of sidestep it. It's good to have Jesus in your life. It's okay, you're going to get everything you want. It's all right. Build a garage. You're going to get that cow. No, it's a hard life. And there is no salvation without Jesus. There isn't. You can sidestep, and I've heard people, well, you know, I believe in God. Not all about no church. Ain't all about this. Ain't all about that. If you ain't all about Jesus, no. Your grief and your loss, it's not going to go anywhere. You have to have it. You have to have it. You got to have him in your life to have that next life. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4, if we believe in that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. As his promise to bring us to the next life. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The rapture. And it's his promise that we will touch the face of God one day. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us this spirit as a pledge. We're made for something better than this. Man was made, humankind was made in the image of God. Sometimes we look around this world and wonder, is that all there is? Paul answers, no, we were made for something better than this. We were made for something better than the sadness we see in this world. Sin is the reason for this sadness. People don't get sick because of their sin, but sickness is in this world because of the original sin. Someone does not get sick because they sin somehow. No. Sin brought this sickness and this sadness and this misery into this world. And it opened a door for all this other stuff to come in. Any idiot that says they deserve this cancer or they deserve this or they deserve that addiction, they're an idiot. No one, I have not one of those kids in there ever said, I want to grow up and be an addict. I ain't never heard it. And no one sends their way to cancer. No one sends their way to this or that. But it is a result of that original sin that let loose all these predators, for lack of a better word. The sin came and it opened the door for this. And it's going to be open till the end. We were meant for more than this world. Those who have gone on before us, because I know Jenny Norwood accepted Jesus. I was out there in that back when she did. I know she's touching the face of God. I know Mildred Lawless is touching the face of God. A new body, not the same as before. Not just renovated, not reconstructed, not the Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. New body. There's no pain. It is perfect. But our identities will not change. when we die, we will not die alone because we will be with Jesus forever. We will not die alone. We think we're going from the land of the living to the land of the dying. That's not true. We're actually going from the land of the dying to the living. People die in this world. They're not dying in the next. As long as they've accepted Jesus. Now, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you leave this world, you will not go to heaven. You will spend eternal life, but if you have sinned and you have turned away from Jesus and you have just made a mockery of God, there's an answer. There's a reckoning to that. We are responsible for all our actions. But I know anyone that has Jesus in their heart and they try to live as best they can by Him and put Him and then their family and everything else, they will spend their life with Jesus. The grief and the loss that we all face and we go through, it's not going to last forever. The death of loved ones, the death of a marriage or a relationship, the death of our control. So many times when we lose control, that's a loss. The control of a situation, the control of our health, that is a loss. The control of our income, it won't be forever. Death does not have the last word. Jesus has conquered the grave. He rose, we will rise. The troubles that have plagued us in this life will be gone. Those beautiful souls that are dearly missed will be seen again. The ability to run and jump will be restored. There aren't any walkers or walking sticks in heaven. There aren't any wheelchairs. Glasses won't be needed. Hearing aids won't be needed. No pain medicine in heaven. It's not needed. That pain that so many of us carry every second of every day from years of hard work will be no more. In that faith, we take courage to live for Christ because death is not the end of our story. I'm going to get y'all to stand with me, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the altars will be open, the music will be playing. If there is someone in your life right now that you are concerned about, that if at this very moment they left this world, where would they go? When they stand before Jesus, would He tell them, good and faithful servant, or would He tell them, I don't know you? If you have that person in your heart and you pray about them, do not be surprised if the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart to use you to reach that person. So many times, that is how it is. And I have come up with many good excuses about why I can't do that. I don't have the words for it. I don't have this. I don't have that. Have a willing heart, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Maybe you yourself, if dropped over right now, where would you go? I'm here. I'm worshiping you with my lips. But what am I doing the other six days and 23 hours of this week? What am I doing? Am I living for you or am I living for this world? If you don't like the answer, here's the repair manual. If there's someone right now that is going through loss and grief, and we know every last one of us knows someone, lift those people up. They are vulnerable. They are hurting. And two things happen in loss and tragedy. You will either get closer to God or you will spiral away from Him. Those people that are dealing with the loss and grief in your life, please pray that God will bring them closer to Him and each other. Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer, Father, with this message of loss and grief, and Your promise is that we are not alone. Your promise is that this death is not the end. Father, all of us have someone in mind. We can see their faces. that has turned away from you. Father, someone that we know if they died right now, they would go to hell. Father, we ask that you open their hearts, bring Jesus in their hearts, and Father, use us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, every person in here. Give us the actions, give us the words to turn these people around. Father, we lift up those that are grieving. Father, we lift up Lane and his family. Father, we lift up Jenny and her family. We lift up Mildred's family. Father, there's so many losses out there. And it's just, we would be here all day ministering people. Father, you see what's in our hearts. And Father, we just ask that you bring these people closer to you and each other. And Father, give them peace. Give them the ability to put one foot in front of another. And Father, use us in these times as your hands and feet. Father, we may not know what to do, but guide us, lead us. All these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, the altars are open.